the looming challenge for small-town newspapers. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, what temperance crusader Carrie Nation would think about the state's drinking laws today.
She'd be horrified.
But first, the last couple of decades have been tough on newspapers. Kansas has lost about 50 publications in the last 20 years. And now, another challenge. Owners of many small family-owned newspapers are getting older, and it's uncertain who will keep the presses running when they retire. It's a Monday morning at the Wilson County Citizen, and the paper's staff is chasing breaking news. The annual Fall River Barbecue won't be held this year. Staff might be an overstatement. The family-owned newspaper in Fredonia is run by Meredith O'Dell, with help from her sister Ginger, and Ginger's two dogs, Biscuit and Pepper. Meredith has worked at the paper since she was four, more than 50 years ago.
My title, flunky.
The Wilson County Citizen is one of four papers listed for sale on the Kansas Press Association's website. And KPA Director Emily Bradbury says all of them share a common thread. The owners are aging and want to retire.
A lot of the people who have been publishing these papers for a long time have been doing so for 30, 40, 50 years. And so we are having an issue where we are having publishers who are 80 years old.
Meredith is only 58. As the youngest of six children, the responsibility of running the paper has fallen to her. Since 2018, she has lost both of her parents and her husband.
I'm old and I'm tired. Every day I come to work and I try to make my dad happy. I try to do it the best that I can. And it's a lot.
Her dad was Joel Ralph, a petroleum engineer by training. But he turned down a job offer in Venezuela in 1961 and came home to Fredonia.
My dad was a truly Renaissance man. He loved to learn. He loved photography.
There's nothing flashy about working for a small-town newspaper. Lots of meetings, lots of sporting events, and lots of work. Emily, with the KPA, says that's what makes small-town papers essential.
When there is no one there to provide the watchdog role of going to the city council meetings, to going to the Board of Education meetings, as well as going to those wrestling tournaments and those football games, when there is no one there to do that, something is lost.
Meredith is trying to avoid that. She's also trying to avoid selling the Citizen to one of the many corporate chains snapping up smaller papers across the country.
I think being bought by a company, a group, they're more concerned with the bottom line. And the bottom line is, it's tough in this business now.
So, Meredith waits. And while she waits, she produces a paper every week for her nearly 3,000 subscribers, telling them what's happening in their small corner of the world in southeast Kansas. And she waits for the next story to walk through her door. Carrie Nation launched her attack against alcohol in the early 1900s from her home in Medicine Lodge. But with all the changes to state law surrounding liquor, what would the hatchet-toting temperance crusader think now? Becky Tanner has more in this month's Hidden Kansas.
On a hot afternoon, beer splashes into a frosty mug at Buster's in Sun City, a Barber County saloon that advertises it's been pouring beer since 1946. Beer flows from taps throughout all of Kansas now, including Barber County. It's a far cry from how Carrie A. Nation, also known as your loving home defender, left things more than a century ago.
She'd be horrified.
That's Ginger Gehring, executive director and manager of the Medicine Lodge Stockade Museum and Carry Nation Home.
Well, when I bring people through the house to tour, I mean, we always start right here. You know, this was a welcoming room.
An adjoining room contains a life-size portrait of Carrie and her writing desk. Still another room contains one of the three hatchets she nicknamed Faith, Hope, and Charity. Carrie Nation helped make Kansas famous. She championed women's rights and spoke out against wearing corsets and short skirts. She not only admonished people not to drink alcohol, but also coffee and tea. She was headstrong, opinionated, and wasn't afraid to carry a hatchet into a saloon and perform hatchetations, the term used to describe how she could wreck a perfectly good bar.
I've always been told that Carrie was in Medicine Lodge before she actually was involved in temperance. Carrie had been in Texas with her husband David Nation, and he basically got run out of Texas after failing in the farming business. Carrie thankfully had the skills to run a hotel, and she owned a hotel and was very successful at that.
In 1887, Carrie Nation swapped her hotel in Texas with a man who owned 425 acres and a house in Medicine Lodge. David worked as the minister of the local Christian church. She was the organist.
He was just not much of a preacher. And so he was fired from the church.
Carrie Nation then became active in the Women's Christian Temperance Union, also known as the WCTU. In 1881, Kansas would become the first state to constitutionally prohibit the manufacture and sale of alcohol, and the last to repeal it in 1948. In the decades since, beer and hard liquor have returned to almost all areas of Kansas, and yet Carrie Nation's presence all these years later is still wrapped into not only the history and legacy of the dark red hills of Barber County, but Kansas. For The Range, I'm Becky Tanner.
The Prohibition Blues. I got the Prohibition Blues.
And one last thing. I met my wife in a bar, which was the 1980s version of a dating app. A friend arranged for us to meet at the Bombay Bicycle Club. It wasn't a Hallmark movie love-at-first-sight encounter, but I was deeply smitten. Sharon had a natural poise and charm, and her brown eyes sparkled when she laughed. I'm not sure why she agreed to marry me, but when she said yes, I didn't ask whether she needed more time to think about it. 40 years ago today, we exchanged vows at a small Methodist church in Maui. We bought a house, raised 3 kids, had good days and days that were less than good, like all married couples. But I'm still deeply smitten, and her eyes still sparkle when she laughs. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.